It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 5 o'clock, and we've made it halfway through the month already, the 15th of September. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, 63 degrees.
Traffic looking good as they reopen some overnight road work in Utah County. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
And we begin the morning with breaking news. A brand new airport has opened in Salt Lake City.
The director of airport redevelopment says motivated workers kept construction of the new terminal on schedule despite the pandemic. KSL News Radio's Todd Fuchs has more.
At their peak, they had 1,950 people on the project.
The trade workers really wanted to work. They really wanted to be here. They recognized that, there's a direct correlation between doing the right thing and not doing the right thing.
Mike Williams, program director of airport redevelopment, says they enforced CDC and health department measures at the job site from the get-go, and it resulted in single-digit on-the-job cases until a blip after the July 4th holiday.
And we went from just having, I think it was 7 to having 75.
Williams says they reminded everyone to be safe at home if you want to keep working, and says as of last Friday, they were down to 5 positive cases. Todd Fuchs, KSL News Radio.
If you're headed to the new Salt Lake City Airport this morning, make sure you follow the signs so you can drop people off or park your car in the right spot. Airport spokeswoman Nancy Vollmer says passengers must walk a series of bridges to get from the garage to the security line.
If you're flying out of Concourse A, you'll just go straight to the plaza area and to the left your gate. If you're flying out of the other gate areas, then you'll take a connecting bridge to get to the existing concourses.
She recommends getting there early to make sure you can find your way.
BYU is taking disciplinary action toward 15 students who did not follow safety requirements. BYU student Zach Thompson says he wouldn't have thought he had the virus without being tested.
Really, if I hadn't been told I had COVID, I'd think I had a very mild head cold.
This action comes as a report from the health department indicates 40% of the state's new COVID-19 cases are in Utah County. BYU reports 217 active cases right now.
Judges in Utah are starting to issue COVID warrants. It's a reminder to someone their case is active again and they need to get to court. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Tim, back in March, the pandemic stopped or slowed down a lot of things in the court system. But now things are picking back up and some low-level offenders cannot be reached about their cases again. They may have forgotten about it or assumed it was canceled or they moved. So some judges are issuing these COVID warrants in the amount of $119. That is a signal to police that it's not for an arrest, is to remind the defendants they need to contact their attorney and take care of things. The Deseret News says attorneys and judges in Salt Lake, Summit, and Tooele counties came up with the idea. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
KSL weather with Grant Wayman. We can expect the warmer than normal temperatures to continue through Thursday, but then we cool down into the 70s for the weekend.
I'm going to look for a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on our Saturday. I know it's the weekend, and we don't always like to talk about rain on our weekend, but in this case, it's been awfully dry lately, so we could definitely use the showers coming our way. Hopefully, we'll get a decent amount of rain coming our way.
Grant says our normal high temperatures for the middle part of September are only in the 80s.
Sally is taking her time approaching the Gulf Coast. KSL's top national stories now. Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
Tim, a Category 1 hurricane is making landfall along the Gulf Coast this morning.
We could see as much as 15 inches of rain in a very short period of time.
Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, where Sally's eye is arriving, the storm has slowed to about 2 miles an hour, which adds to the storm surge and rainfall amounts. President Trump toured fire damage in California yesterday and visit became a debate with state leaders about climate change.
It'll start getting cooler. You just watch.
I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
The North Complex West fire near where the president was has killed 50 and destroyed over 370 homes, charred more than a quarter million acres. Well, the president welcomes Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to the White House today, where they'll sign a peace accord with representatives of Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. The police chief of Rochester, New York, is fired over the in-custody death of Daniel Prude. The mayor says Chief LaRon Singletary and the city attorney soft-pedaled reports on the March death. The chief was set to retire in 2 weeks anyway. The city attorney and communications director, they're suspended. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
A manhunt continues in Southern California after two Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies were ambushed over the weekend. L.A. Deputy Sheriff's Association President Ron Hernandez says he understands reform for law enforcement is necessary, but shooting officers is not the answer.
You don't see us running around right now blaming everybody for what happened on Saturday. The people that are responsible for Saturday is one or two people. That's who we're blaming. Okay? And I would hope that everybody would do the same for law enforcement.
The wounded deputies are a 31-year-old mother and a 24-year-old man who were sworn in only 14 months ago.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.